So imagine for a moment, we're gathered together in the square, and it's actually 740 BC. So it's a little while ago. So imagine for a moment, and you've bought the local paper, it's probably on papyrus or something like that, or maybe chiseled out, who knows. If you read asterisks and obliques, it'll be chiseled out, won't it? But it's the Judean Chronicle you've got, and we're reading through the news headlines. 740 BC, sometime in December. And there's an update on the ongoing crop production, maybe an update on the maintenance program at the temple, and maybe an update on the latest health update on King Hezekiah. He's been a little bit unwell. There's classified ads for donkeys for sale. Free tree saplings are on offer at Caleb and Daughter's Garden and Springs Spring Water Center. Have a look at the end of, anyway. And there's an open position at Karen Happick's Hummus Cafe. And then you come to the editorial section, and there's this columnist called Isaiah who's writing. He's been writing for a while. And this guy, he's an interesting columnist. Actually, he's a prophet. He's been somewhat prolific. He's been writing for quite a number of years. He started when King Uzziah was on the throne. And you might recall that some months ago he wrote this column that said, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And we just heard that, didn't we? And so this was in the column a few weeks ago, wasn't it? And the column caused quite a stir, didn't it? Because it's unclear who he was speaking about, but it sounded very good, and life had moved on. And now he's writing again. And the headline says this, "Warning, there may be disturbing news that this column may leave you feeling uncomfortable." In summaries, the columns that follow or warnings that say, "Because over the years you people have turned away from your loving God, and despite good kings like King Hezekiah being faithful, as a people you have turned away from your God. Therefore, there'll be a world in which there's war and a threat of war and famines and increasing oppression and a general turning away from God and authorities actively engaging with and promoting what is contrary to God. There will be increasing persecutions for those who are seeking to be faithful. And ultimately, the people will be taken into captivity." Quite a stark column that's showing up in the Judean Chronicle. And this goes on for a number of weeks and months. Even says, "Don't trust the Babylonians. And please, King Hezekiah, don't show them the treasures." Unfortunately, he does. So the column may cause you to spill your fresh coffee from Karen Happick's cafe with your hummus. But the message that you wake up to, and what a message to wake up to on a Sunday morning. But there's urgency in Isaiah's message, isn't there? And that urgency is clear. What does it all mean? Especially things you've just seen, just seem to be fine, or so it seems. So before we move on, I'm just going to open up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for the prophet Isaiah. I thank you that you have, as it tells us in Hebrews, spoken in many ways in former days through the fathers and the prophets. And then it goes on to say, you've spoken to us in the person of the Son. So Lord, we thank you for your speaking to us, and I pray that by the Holy Spirit, you would speak to us today and be nothing of ourselves. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're there in 740 BC. We've been reading the Judean Chronicle. Let's zoom on a few years, and we land at about AD 60. We've zoomed on quite a bit, haven't we? And so I'm going to read an article from the Judean Chronicle again. It's a well-published paper, isn't it? It's going on for a long time. And come and join me as we read an article from the good doctor called Luke. He's been writing a very detailed eyewitness account of things that have been happening. And he's included these words from that columnist way back when called Isaiah, that prophet from 600 years ago. So turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 1, and it says this: in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea, Trachonitis, Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. As a passing note, there's a little town called Abilene in Texas. Anyway, passing note. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, here he is: the word of the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, makes his paths straight, and every valley be filled, and every mountain and hill be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. That's not my phone, is it? Okay, good. That was a Teams call. So what are these words and he's writing, and what does it mean, the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord? By way of context, since the words of Isaiah were declared back in his prophecy, things had gotten rough in the area of Judea. Despite a few highlights of some brilliant kings, such as Hezekiah and Josiah, there were some terrible leaders who had actively turned the people away from following after the Lord God. And the words of Isaiah had come to pass. The people had been taken into captivity. Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. The warning that Isaiah had given, don't trust them, was correct. And it was not a great time now when Luke writes, and things weren't much better. The people had been allowed to return to their homeland by the benevolent king called Cyrus, but the kingdom was never restored. The people remained under the authority of foreign powers, and as we've read in Luke's account, the Romans were the ruling power of the day. And to be fair, whilst they were pretty incredible administrators, they were not benevolent or kind, but rather politically focused, harsh, and pretty ruthless. Seems pretty dark and hopeless, doesn't it? Is there hope? Would the glory of Israel be restored to what it was under King David? Was there something better than the kingdom? And praise the Lord, yes, there is. And so we get this statement coming directly from Isaiah, prepare the way of the Lord. And so as we think about our season here and we've paused and we've reflected, now we're going to prepare. So Luke referencing those words in Isaiah 40, and if we look at all of Isaiah 40, that first section, he goes on and says, comfort ye my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her, that her welfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And a voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low, and uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Luke takes a subset of that those words, but I thought it was important that we look at the words of Isaiah himself. Such rich words. He begins with this overture to the people. After all this bad news up to the end of chapter 39, he then says, comfort ye, my people. And there is comfort in the season of Advent. There is comfort in our busyness. There's pardon that can be had. You know, when we reflect on what Isaiah was facing in his day, what Luke was facing in his day, in some respects, not a lot has changed, has it? A godless society, injustice, wars, rumors of war, threats all around, leaders turning us away from God, political leaders, that is. or looking at things and activities that are contrary to God's law. So you would think a message of comfort and tenderness, like Isaiah speaks about, would be so welcome, and it is. But who brings this message of comfort? But who brings this message and makes the path straight, as Isaiah's prophecy speaks of? In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And what he's referring to is a man called John. The man, we're told, prepares the way for the Lord in the wilderness. In this world in which we are, where it's dry and barren, there's a man preparing the ground for the Lord's salvation that will come to the people. And what does he do, this man called John the Baptist? He prepares the way by declaring a baptism of repentance of sins. You get that in Luke 3, verse 3, which is the fulfillment of what Isaiah had written 600 years before in that chronicle. And Isaiah's picture that he's preparing for God's salvation, it's a supernatural highway where geographic obstacles are removed, paths are straightened, valleys are filled in and flattened so that salvation is straightforward and clear. It's powerful and without obstruction. And so just as God had parted the sea for the children of Israel in Exodus, this imagery shows God's power in removing all creation's obstacles for the people as he delivers them and presents his people with salvation. And so through John the Baptist, God is preparing this highway for his people, a clear path for them to be redeemed. And the prophecy has complete and total victory in mind. The path of redemption is clear. The path of redemption is totally unobstructed, and there's nothing to stop those who want to get on the path reaching its destination. It's for the humble, for the blind, for those who are in need. That is what the salvation is for. The hearers of John's message are to realize that God's coming in judgment, it was coming in judgment, and only the humble who rely upon him will be spared. And we'll come back to that in a moment. But John the Baptist is not the center of the story, but rather he's pointing to another. He's pointing to another who will provide that salvation. And John says, John the apostle writes in his book, the next day, and this is in John 1, the next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. There is a man who comes ranks before me because he was before me." See, John writes about this man who is coming to bring salvation. The man whom John is preparing the ground for is the Savior of the world, Jesus, who is about to come as a babe. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And so this first Advent, when Jesus, the Savior, is born in Bethlehem, that's what it's all looking forward to. And in this child, Jesus, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, it was in him that the glory of the Lord was revealed, as Isaiah's prophecy says. The glory of the Lord be revealed to all men, and they saw him in the person of Jesus. All shall see the salvation of God, and it's in Jesus. And so now my question is the second question of what are you prepared for? Are we prepared to receive him? So the ground is prepared. The Savior has come in the baby of the birth of Jesus. And now are you prepared to receive him? So we go back to the Judean Chronicle and it read well and it was interesting. But the question is that message of Isaiah important? What are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? In Luke 2, we read about Simeon, who is a righteous and devout man. He'd been waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was not only aware of the promises of Isaiah, but also the one who would be considered humble and ready for God's salvation to come. And by the Holy Spirit's leading, he was in the right place at the right time. Joseph and Mary brought their firstborn son Jesus to the temple to dedicate him according to Jewish law. And who was there? Simeon. And he says, "This day mine eyes have seen the salvation of Israel." Can you imagine when he received that babe into his arms? He received the child Jesus and blessed him. He praises God because he'd seen the salvation in Jesus. The fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And here it is, Jesus has arrived. Salvation is here, praise God. And so as we celebrate another season of Advent, in this busyness of life we've been talking about, my question to all of us is, are like Simeon, are we ready to receive the Savior? Are we ready to receive him? Are we ready to celebrate the advent of Jesus? We can see the rich evidence that God has revealed his glory in that person. You know, we've referred to John's gospel where Jesus starts his public ministry 33 years later. The glory of God was there. But there's no mistake that any of us are here today as well. God in his infinite wisdom and power has brought you and me and all of us here today. He's preparing the way for you to be here, and he's preparing for the way for you to receive Christ Jesus. Will you receive him? Luke 3 finishes the chapter by, it continues in the chapter rather, by saying, be ready or else. Judgment is coming, and the call is to be prepared for it. A call to ensure that judgment passes over us like an exodus. Because salvation brings wonderful promises. God is a God of promises. Salvation brings the forgiveness of sins. It's not just words, friends. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have gone astray, like Isaiah writes. But there's a fixed point of reality and morality that is in God himself, revealed in Christ Jesus, and we're found wanting. And so there's this compelling message in this Advent, in our busyness, to pause, reflect, and receive. Will you receive the Savior? Will you receive Jesus? There's the gift of eternal life. The second promise of salvation, that you have certainty as to your future. John 3:16 says this, so God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Such wonderful promises. We can have it now. We can have the experience of eternal life now. The certainty of hope that we have in our hearts, that we will be in the presence of Jesus soon. And you're given the Holy Spirit, the third promise. When you trust in Jesus, you are given the Holy Spirit. He is the power by which you can live here for Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit given from the Father and the Son. And yes, we can have a conversation about 1054, can't we, Neil? The Father and the Son, and the Spirit given. But we have this relation. When you have a relationship with someone, isn't it totally normal that you go, you meet up, you chat, you share, you enjoy each other's company? And that's exactly what God has planned for and has given us the Spirit for, so that we can have that relationship, an easy relationship with God in Jesus. Doesn't that blow your mind? God himself lives within every Christian, and that reality transforms our lives. Everywhere, the Bible tells us that through the gift of our Spirit, the Holy Spirit rather, every thought, choice, decision, and action can be governed by this reality of God within us. We make different choices. So you're ready to humble yourself and receive the Savior at this Christmas. Are you prepared to give up, to give everything to Jesus? Your life, relationships, your job, your retirement, your skills, and your heart. And so lastly, I just wanted to look at this question, are you prepared to go? If you receive that free gift of salvation, this wonderful news that's true of you today, and there are many here ready to pray and walk you through that, if you want that for yourself today, if you have not yet received Christ, my fellow elders, their wives, the ministry leaders, the prayer team, all of us are ready to pray with you and walk that journey if you want to accept Christ today. But what does it mean to follow Jesus? In our church statement, we reference Matthew 28, where it says this: Jesus came unto them and said, "All authority is given to heaven in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." That's the commandment. Go, go and make disciples. Go and share the best news ever, that Jesus has come and totally transformed lives. Wouldn't you, if your life has been transformed, wouldn't you want to follow what he teaches in obedience? Wouldn't you want to let the Spirit work in your life and shape how your relationships are and give character to that? There's a different way through Jesus. So Isaiah was calling on the people to turn towards God because of the impending judgment, but also the rich blessing of salvation. And so it is today when we're calling all men to hear the good news and turn to Jesus. Are you prepared to turn to Jesus and go? But I also want to ask another question about, are you prepared to go? Are you prepared for the moment when your life finishes here on earth? We've been impacted by dear Christian friends passing on, haven't we? Our dear sister Jill, family friends that we've had who've recently passed away. But the glorious reality for them is they were ushered into the presence of Christ immediately. And they are there forever. And we will see them again soon. And so if your life was to end today, in this very moment, is your future certain? Do you know where you will be? Will you be in glory with Christ forever? Or will you be apart from him forever? So I urge you in this moment of pause and reflect and receive the Savior. Receive the Savior and be certain. I'm going to call the band up now. So as we finish and come to a conclusion, the message began with this image of us reading the Judean Chronicle and having our coffee at Karen Happick's cafe. Have a look at Karen Happick. She's an interesting lady. Only referenced once, as far as I know. Isaiah was called by God to share this glorious message of salvation in the midst of chaos, turmoil, busyness, and impending judgment. His message is of hope. And Luke shares that in his gospel, that the salvation that all men would see was to arrive, and that is in Jesus. That salvation is available for you today and is found alone only in Jesus. The way of God's salvation has been prepared. Will you accept it? And are you prepared to go and share that great news, good news of the gospel with your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, your family? And finally, are you ready to be in the presence of Jesus? Are you ready to be in the presence of Jesus when your time is finished here on earth? I leave that with you. I leave the Savior with you. Pause, reflect, and receive the Savior. God bless.